get that to you if you hold up your hand. Anyone need a copy? All right.
Up here to Phil. Jim. Anyone else need a copy of the lesson? All right. Make sure everybody has one. And we are continuing on in Bible Doctrines Misunderstood. Tonight we're looking at Jehovah. And there are many saying today that the King James Bible is wrong because instead of Jehovah, it should be Yahweh. And were the King James translators, were they right? Or did they make a big mistake? Well, the problem is many today do not fully understand who Jehovah is. It's another misunderstood doctrine that needs to be understood. If you turn to Exodus chapter 6 there, and verse 1 says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And that Lord in all capitals is Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." And so the name of God in the Hebrew is spelled with the Hebrew letters Yod, He, Vav, and He. And the Hebrew reads from the right to the left. You can see the word Jehovah down there at the bottom, and you read it from the right side to the left, not like we do from the left to the right. The Hebrew reads from the right to the left. And so the transliterated, if you transliterate it into English, it is J-H-V-H. Those are the consonants. And this is called the Tetragrammaton. And the King James translates it Jehovah seven times. Seven times. Now, most of the time it is translated Lord with all capitals. Whenever you see Lord with all capitals, it's because the Hebrews feared profaning the name of God and violating the third commandment. And so they would use many times Adonai, and which Adonai just simply means that master or ruler. And so the King James makes a distinction of the Hebrew Adonai and J-H-V-H by using Lord for Adonai and Lord with all capitals for J-H-V-H. Now that particular thing is lost in many of the modern new translations. You don't have that. You're not able to tell in many cases in the new versions. And the King James translators made it easy for us to know when they used Adonai. You can look in Isaiah chapter 6 in verse 1, and you'll see here, Adonai is a name, one of the names of God, but it means master or ruler. And Lord, master, ruler. And here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 is just one instance that we'll look at so you can see this. It says, "In the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." Notice it's capital L and then small, O-R-D. That's Adonai, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So they made it easy for us to see when Adonai was used and when the Jehovah was used. When it's Lord, all capitals, it's Jehovah. It wasn't until the 19th century that Yahweh became generally accepted. There are many people who try to tell us that Jehovah is wrong and that Yahweh is the name of God. Well, let me just read you something here from Gil Riplinger's book, and In All Thy Word, which we have downstairs in the library there. And she's received a lot of criticism because of what she's brought out, but I would stand her critics up beside her and measure their credentials, and I'll guarantee you that her credentials would outshine most of her critics, if not all. And here's what she says in page 417. Jenna Bardas, he lived from 1550 to 1567, right in that area was when he did this, seems to have been the first to suggest the pronunciation Iju, pronounced Yahweh, but it was not until the 19th century that it became generally accepted. That's in the 1800s. Anti-Semitic German liberals like Driver and Delitzsch eagerly grasped the new pronunciation Yahweh. They and other unsaved higher critics denied that the Old Testament was actually given by God. They grasped at any straw to shelter their unbelief, asserting that the Old Testament was the creation of men who adopted and adapted stories, words, and names from neighboring pagan religions and languages. The higher critics used the new pronunciation, Yahweh, as so-called proof that the God of Israel was nothing more than a tribal God, whose name had evolved from pagan gods like Yahu and Yahweh, worshipped by the Babylonians and Canaanites, the Hebrew captors and neighbors. They said Yahweh meant destroyer. The German critics said Yahweh is not a Hebrew name. Such a pronunciation would prove the Hebrews borrowed it. And so I was listening to a Jewish scholar who graduated from the Hebrew University, and he decided that he was going to do some real research into this. And he came to the conclusion that if you research it out, Yahweh is not the name of God. It is a pagan name. And he said that the true name is, just like the King James Bible says, it's Jehovah. And many of the modern translations have taken that out, and they've also taken out Lucifer. And so what we have is setting up a stage for you can make your own God, and you can use Yahweh, which is a pagan God, which puts Satan back on the throne. So here in the notes I put, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, inserting the vowels of Yahweh, which is Syrian, into the Hebrew consonant text, we obtain the form of Yahweh or Yahweh. This cannot be right because the care of the oracles of God, they were committed to the Hebrews, not the Syrians. And Rudolf Kittel, he's a man who believed that the Hebrew religion was a cult whose followers worshipped a primitive weather god. He said, the origins of Yahweh worship, it appears that this cult, there's a skip there in what he said, it appears that this cult was established before Deborah. Thus Yahweh appears as an old deity of Sinai, revered in untold antiquity as a weather god. So here Kittel, who it is interesting that he was an anti-Semitic German, and he wrote this corrupt text, and all of the new versions are based on it. It's where we have come. It's not that I'm making these things up. And when I bring these things out, you always get attacked. And Satan has done a good cover-up job. And there are people today, you can go on the internet and look, and there are people who will say that Jehovah is the wrong name and that Yahweh is the right name. But what they need to do is really research it out, like this man did, that Jewish man. He has a master's degree in the area, and he's graduated from the Hebrew University, and his dad was a rabbi. And he said that he went to 11 rabbis, and he said he has not found any rabbi who will admit. They don't want to admit. They don't want to say the name Jehovah. They won't say it. They don't want to admit it. They want to keep it secret. Why would they really want to keep it secret? Well, there's two reasons. The first reason is Jeremiah 44 and verse 26. Jeremiah 44:26. You remember when Jonathan and that group there, they took Jeremiah by force and the people. And when God said, "Don't go down to Egypt, stay in Babylon, and you'll be okay," and they would not listen. They asked Jeremiah to seek the Lord and find where to go. And when Jeremiah told them, they said, "No, we're not going to do that. We're going to Egypt." And God said, "I'm going to send the sword after you." And God said, "Because you wouldn't follow my word, then you will not pronounce my name. You will not do it." And it's still true today that these rabbis, that's the number one reason. Number two reason is that when you really look into Jehovah, you have to admit that Jesus is God. You have to admit that when you really look into Jehovah. And we'll see that tonight as we look at it. So we have, I put his quote in there because he has a corrupt text, and he did not believe that the Hebrews' religion was genuine. He believed it was a cult, the Hebrew Bible and what we believe is a cult. And he wrote his own corrupt text, and that's the text that all of the new versions are based on. It's the devil has been active, and it's a lot more. If you want more on it, I have that series back there of the 8 messages I preached on how we got our Bible. It brings out how that the modern versions are corrupt. So anyhow, we'll move on here to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Here is the one that many of the Jews will say the reason that they do not believe the God of Christianity, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. They claim that we are polytheists. We believe in many gods. We have 3. And their Bible says, the Old Testament, that there's only one. Well, let's look at it closer. This verse clearly teaches that Jehovah is the personal name of God. The Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 and 3 as well. "But hear, O Israel," it says, "hear, O Israel, hear this, O Israel, if you would hear it today, if you would just listen to what your God said." He said, "The Lord," that's all capitals, that's Jehovah. So what we're saying is Jehovah, our God, Elohim, that's plural, is one Jehovah. So God told Israel that Jehovah, a plural God, is one God. And his name is Jehovah. The Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. That's what he said there. So Jehovah means he is or he exists. And if you look there in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, here Jesus says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and was it which is to come, the Almighty." Now that "which was, which is, and which is to come," which is, which was, which, and which is to come, is the same as saying he is or he exists. It's saying that he is Jehovah, that he is the one that exists. He is and he exists. He has always existed. And then look in chapter 4, verse 8. Here we have it again. And it's a reference here. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And casting their crowns before his feet there as we read on down. And then you can find it again in Revelation chapter 22. I didn't write this one down, but it's in chapter 20, 22. He says in verse 13 there, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so he makes it very clear about himself in the book of Revelation, the book that is to reveal Jesus Christ. And so then we want to go back to Genesis chapter 1 with this in our minds of what Jesus said about himself. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word God there is Elohim. It is actually plural, but the translators translated it singular because they understood what God teaches about himself, that, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So they made it singular. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, this is Elohim saying here, this is the Trinity working. And verse 6, God said, and on down, verse 9, God said, verse 11, God said, and we come down to verse 14, God said, verse 20, God said, verse 24, God said, this is Elohim, this is Father, Son, and Spirit working in creation. And verse 26 says, and God said, Elohim said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so this is God himself admitting that there is more than one. And what we find in this chapter is we have the Spirit of God mentioned. When we get to chapter 2, we have, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah God, made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God, Jehovah God, had not caused it to rain. And then we notice that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, this is still one God. But now we have Jehovah God, and when he created Adam and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, it was this Jehovah God that Adam looked into the face of. And in chapter 3 and verse 8 it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And so they actually saw that. Now, if you go to John chapter 1 and verse 18, it just explains it here. We have to be careful that we don't go to the extreme that we say that Jehovah is only Jesus. Jehovah is the personal name of our God. And It is explained here in John chapter 1 and verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, that's Jesus, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So it was Jesus, the Son of God, who would be the one that would take upon Himself human flesh, who appeared to Adam and Eve in the garden, and was also the one that appeared to all of the appearances throughout the Old Testament of God to man. It was Jesus. That was His purpose. He was the one that would take upon Himself human flesh and come and die for us and pay the price for our sins. Now, Exodus 3:14, here, if you go over there and look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And so He said, tell him that I am has sent me unto you. That's what you need to tell him. When Moses asked, what am I going to tell him? Who's wanting me to do this? And if you go back to John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus clearly said here, John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And remember what He said in John 8, 24, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And so we have, here we have Elohim declaring that He is the I am that I am. And that fits right in with what Jesus said about Himself, the one which is, which was, and which is to come. That's the basic meaning of I am that I am. And so God's personal name declares loudly that Jesus is God. Now, there isn't any rabbi, unless he's come to see Christ as the Messiah and has now become a Messianic Jew, and working, there are some rabbis who have come to Christ and they are teaching salvation through Christ, but the majority of the rabbis today, they don't want to say this name. They don't want you to hear about this name. This name of Jesus that can be associated with Jesus. And so God's personal name declares loudly that Jesus is God. Jesus comes from the Hebrew word Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. So we're going to look up these verses and do some comparison here in Isaiah. And this brings it out very clearly in Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 10 through 13 here, verses. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, or Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed. When there was no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will let it? And then if you jump over to chapter 44 and verse 6, thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. There is no God. And the word God there is Elohim. That fits in with what we read in Revelation chapter 1. He says there in verse 11, if you go and look at Revelation, we'll go back there again and look at chapter 1, verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And then if you jump down to verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. So Jesus said the same thing about himself that Isaiah is bringing out to us here about Jehovah. And he, there is no God. Why? Because our God is one. Three persons, one God. Father, Son, and Spirit. And if you go over to chapter 45, which I don't think I put this one in the notes, but chapter 45 and verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, or Jehovah, and there is none else. Makes this very clear. And then, chapter 45, verses 18 to 23. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, Jehovah, God Himself, Elohim, that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it, He created it, not in vain, He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, or Jehovah, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not under the seed of Jacob, seek you me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. I always think about the Philistines when their god Dagon, and they took the ark, and they set the ark of Israel beside it, and the next day when they came, Dagon was fallen over on his face. And then they set him back up. And the next day when they came, he had fallen over again, but his head was cut off and his arms and feet and everything was cut off. Just a stump. Now, why would you go back and serve a God like that? But they did. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from, verse 21, declared this from ancient time. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Now, this is Jehovah speaking. And when we go over to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, the book of Philippians, chapter 2, we read again here in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now sometimes the critics will say that, well, God here is going to highly exalt him, so if God's going to highly exalt him, how can he be God? Well, the point is, he's the second person of the Godhead. And he is able to, through Jehovah, which is God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, to be exalted. And that, there's no problem there at all if you just read the Bible and read what it says, that Jesus came in a specific purpose to provide redemption for us. And that was his mission, to come to the earth, to die and to pay the price for our sin. And so there are times that he references the Father in such a way that it would seem like, how can he be God when he references the Father that way? Well, it's simple when you understand what he's doing and the mission that he came to do. Simple, easy to understand. Chapter 48 of Isaiah, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, or Elohim, Jehovah thy Elohim, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. But they certainly didn't keep his promises. And then we come to Isaiah chapter 53. There are many other scriptures that we could read in Isaiah. But in Isaiah 53, he says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's an important scripture, and we'll come back to it. But the triune God, our God, is three persons. Father, Son, and Spirit. Triune God is Jehovah, Father, Son, and Spirit. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:30? I and my Father are one. And so Jehovah is God's personal name. And when we say Jehovah, that's Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, the J, the Jod, it suggests giving or extending. And you see it there down there at the bottom where it's written in Hebrew, Jehovah. You see it there on the right side. That's the J there. And it's very well established that it suggests a giving or an extending hand. An extending hand. Now, Psalm 119 has the Hebrew alphabet in most Bibles. Most King James Bibles, they have it there. Not exactly sure. The others, I think they do, some of them. But here in Psalm 119, if you go to the Jod, there at verse 73, this is written with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And you notice what he says in verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And so the Jod suggests an extending or a giving, reaching out of the hand. The He, the H there in the consonant, it represents an enclosure like heaven or a window. And the V or the Vav, it symbolizes a nail. And then the H, the He, repeated again at the end of the name because Jesus was risen and ascended up to heaven. So the message comes out in the name Jehovah. It comes out that He's the personal God has reached out His hand to us, and we put a nail in it, so to speak, And having taken our punishment for sin, He returned to heaven. And if you look at these scriptures here, Psalm 22 and verse 16, it says this, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked had enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet." And then Isaiah 22 and verse 16. "What hast thou here, and whom hast thou here, that thou hast hewed thee out a sepulchre here, as he that heweth out a sepulchre on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in a rock?" And we read on, it says in verse 16. How did I get to verse 16? I don't know. Verse 23. "And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to all the vessels of flagons. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed, and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it." And so this comes out very clearly. Now, we read there, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 53, Jesus is shown to be the arm of the Lord. Who is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of Jehovah. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." And on we read about this great redemption that he provided for us there in Isaiah chapter 53. Chapter 59 and verse 16. "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him." And then chapter 63, verse 2 says, "Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress?" A prophecy of when he would come and fight the battle of Armageddon. And verse 5, "And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me." And so it is commonly known that the Jod there represents the hand, the extended hand, the arm of the Lord extended out. And then what is interesting is that the vowel points in Jehovah, we have the E, the O, and the A that's filled in these consonants. And this is where we get a lot of argument. There are those who say that those vowels were added from Adonai. And that's what they did. They added them from Adonai, and they do not really belong in Jehovah. But you know, that cannot be substantiated. Even when you read the articles about it and the people who say that, I read one where they said, well, we can't substantiate it, but that's what they say. But when you examine the evidence and you go back in the Masoretic text, they were using these vowel points, and the vowel points have not changed. They are the same. And so these vowel points were added and later, yes, but they were legitimate. They put them there so that we could read this word. If you want to do a little bit of an experiment, take some of our English words and take the vowels out and try to pronounce them. You'll have a difficult time. So they put these in so that we could pronounce this name. And it's interesting that these vowel points, the E there, it's the underneath the J there, the extended hand, is the two dots. And could this actually be two dots for the two nails in his hand? I'm just asking that question. It's there in the name Jehovah. And then you have the dot over the H there. And that dot over stands for the O, which comes behind. You have J, E, H, O, and that's the O. And could that one dot picture the nail that was driven through his feet? And then you have there below the next V, you have the little, looks like a T down there, vowel mark for the A. And could that be a picture of the cross? Might be. And then, of course, you have that vowel mark stands for the A. And then you have the H again. So in the very name itself, you have the story of salvation being told in Jehovah. You won't find that in Yahweh. Not at all. What you'll find in Yahweh, if you research it out, is it comes from a pagan god. And I read you that, where they're back with Gardabas, or not sure how you say his name, but anyhow, Jean Bardas, or whoever, he originated it. And then the German critics, who did not believe the Bible was the Word of God, picked it up, used it. And now somehow, some way, it's been twisted around where you ask the average pastor today what God's name is, and most of them will say Yahweh. Boy, is the devil ever tricky. He is very tricky. His name is Jehovah. The King James translators were not wrong. And if you really research it out, you will find that Yahweh comes from a pagan god. And even Thomas Nelson Publishers actually said that in their Bibles, some of them, they have Yahweh promoted. And they said that we ought to learn to pray, instead of praying, "Dear Lord," we ought to pray, start praying to Yahweh. That's the Thomas Nelson Publishers. And so here we are. And that's why this is important. It's an important doctrine to understand that we can be very genuine and sincere and be blaspheming God with a pagan name. And that's pretty serious. And so we need to understand that. But the conclusion of this lesson, what I wanted to show you, is that God's name, Jehovah, proves positively that Jesus is God. It proves that when you just compare the scriptures. God's personal name proves that Jesus is God. One final scripture in John chapter 5 and verse 43. I like what the young man that I listened to from the other side, on the Jewish side, and I liked what he said, that what we're after is the truth. He said, you can't find any of the rabbis that will say that his name's Yahweh. They say it's Jehovah. And if you can get them to say it. And he said, I know some of the things that I say would, they might cause conflict with Hebrew University, but he said, I'm after the truth. And he said, when you go after the truth, that's what you come up with. God's name is not Yahweh. And so some of these people who are spouting that today need to go back and search it out, find the truth, and take the Word of God for what it says, that Jehovah is the personal name of God. John 5:43, look what he said here. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Boy, that's what they have done today. Receive the name of Yahweh. It always grips me when I hear someone use that Yahweh. That, why are you going to use a pagan name for Almighty God, whose personal name, as he told us, is Jehovah? And we have clear evidence in that, in the manuscript evidence. Well, that's enough said. I just wanted to bring that to you. I had a few other notes here, but I'm not going to take the time to go into that. They've even perverted the name of Jesus in Hebrew, Yahshua. He's not Yahshua, he's Yeshua. And the Jews will call him Yeshu, which Yeshu means accursed one. So they've changed that. So anyhow, that's where we are. And as the Bible tells us, that it'll get worse in these last days that we live. So much deception. And we need to take the time to search out the truth. Dig in there. And search it out for yourself. You can listen to the critics. And she wrote a book. Gail Ripplinger wrote a book on New Age Bible versions. I read that book. And all she did is compare the different versions. That's all she did. It was just a comparison. And the critics came out against it. Man, did they come out against it. And you know what? Several of those critics that were criticizing it had never read the book. They were criticizing it and they had never read it. If you read it, all she's doing is making a comparison and showing how that they have change things in such a way that it's wrong. And 2 years ago, I put some of the NIV. At that time, I put what the NIV said, and I put what the King James said. And every week, I had a little one of the verses, and I just put a little explanation of how it had perverted what the Bible was really saying. Listen, folks. You might disagree with me, but we live in dangerous times. And we need to stay with the Bible that stood for over 400 years and is still standing today. And nobody, I challenge anybody to match the scholarship of the men who translated the King James Version. We don't have anybody that can match that scholarship today. They might spout that they can, but if you stood them up and let them stand to it and cover the scholarship of the King James translators, they'll fall. And they also do not have access to what the King James translators had access to. Enough said. I won't take any more time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you have given us, the Word of God. And you've told us what your name is. And yet, in this day and time that we think we're so smart that we can call you by a pagan god name and we're not seeing revival. We're not seeing things get better. We're seeing things get worse. Our churches are not, that stand true to the Word, are not flooding over. It's the churches that have release themselves to the ways of the world and the pagan ideas that seem to be growing. And that's not true, Father, I know, all across the board, but it seems to be true in many of the churches. And we just pray that you'll help us to seek the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Help us to be wise and not fall prey to these last day things that are coming up, and to realize that you've told us who you are, what your name is, and what you do, and how you work. And we don't need to work in your place. We just thank you for all your blessings, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing.